Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
A pleasant good morning to you. It is the 30th of June, 2021. How time flies. It was the 1st of June I was actually celebrating my birthday, the 1st of June. And I guess all of the celebration has now come to a halt, as today is the last day of June. And we know that they say, June too soon, July stand by. And we are in the hurricane season. I guess June began with a bang, letting us know to prepare. Be mindful, listen to our radios. Pay attention to credible sources of information and don't hear what you want to hear, but rather listen to the information. Let your brain absorb and processes what you would have heard and ensure that you have heard the right thing. They say a hurricane coming when you never heard the officials say such. And so we really want to encourage you to prepare for the hurricane season. You have your portable water, you have your lights, you have canned foods, you have all your medical records and important documents in one bag, in a Ziploc bag, in another bag that you can easily run off with. If you have big trees in your yard, ensure that they are trimmed, they are cut, they are pruned. Do what you have to do. We know all of the protocol generally that has been associated with this time of year, what we call the hurricane season. And we know that it now stretches even sometimes beyond that stipulated time, which is usually November. I remember a couple of years ago, we had a trough just around Christmas time. And it actually caused deaths in St. Vincent and St. Lucia. So we know with global warming, climate change, the weather patterns are sort of upside down, in and out, that kind of a thing. And we just have to go with the flow. That's the new normal. And there is nothing we can do about it. We have no control, but we can prepare ourselves and we can take precaution. So that's what I'm going to say about that. But today is a gloomy, wet, rainy day. We are expected to have torrential rains as the day progresses all through the weekend. And so I guess all of us just have to take the necessary precautions. This morning on Health Vibes, we are going to be having a very important discussion. We will be talking pharmacology. So we are revisiting our base. As you know, Health Vibes, brings to you health and wellness information. And today we are going into a sort of pharmacology class. So we're going to be talking about drugs this morning, medications, that is, and how the foods that we may consume can affect how the drug is going to work. So we are going to be talking about some of the common drugs that we use in Dominica and are prescribed to us, and how some of the foods that we consume can impact negatively and positively on how well this medicine or medicines are going to work. I have seen this so many times in my career where clients know, this morning I have to take four medicines. I take one of each or whatever the dose is. I put it in the palm of my hand. and I put everything in my mouth and I swallow because they say it's morning time. I just take everything at the same time. I have seen that many times, and that in itself may be a bad practice. And I am not blaming you. I am blaming pharmacists for sometimes maybe being so busy that they don't take enough time to give you all of the information or the necessary information that you need to know about the spacing of your medicines and even what we call drug-drug interaction. Certain drugs cannot be taken with another drug because they can cause interactions and even cause major complications in the body. The very same thing applies to medications and foods. And so this morning, I am going to let you know what you need to know about some of the medicines that we take or you take, and how food can negatively or positively impact. So we're going to take a short break. And we are going to get right into today's medical discussion. I truly hope that those of you who are on polypharmacy, that is people who are taking many medications, so you might be taking 8 medicines, you might be taking 10, you might be taking up to 12 in a day, different types of medicines, ensure that you listen to today's show. Call someone to tell someone that Health Vibes is on QFM Radio, and I am discussing this morning medications and food. We are going to take a short break, and then we will get right into today's discussion.
What juice we drinking? A better tasting juice, one with so much variety. The perfect cocktail juice, bartender, it's prime for me. So many flavors, so do me a favor. Ask children in school for the recess, what juice they drinking? We drinking brand, we drinking brand. 100% juice, everybody drinking brand. We drinking brand, we drinking brand. It's healthy and it's pure, that's why we drinking brand.
Brand juice, 100% juice, distributed by Jolly's Pharmacy Limited.
I woke up this morning feeling real stink. I had the intentions to call in sick, but I end up in Jolly's Pharmacy. Great and down King Cross Street, Jolly's fix up my immune system. Got me feeling fit and strong, now I'm ready to work and take on any mission. If you see me walking, Jolly's Pharmacy is number one. Jolly's walking, we cater for everyone. Jolly's walking, boost up your immune system. Jolly's walking, yeah. Dominica's a white father fox. Whenever I'm in town and I'm feeling down, I head to Jolly's Pharmacy. They boost me up real quick. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30, it's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95. Every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in. Tune in. Tune in.
So we're back with you this morning. As I said, this morning we are going to be discussing common medications and food interactions. We know that we all have to eat in order for us to live. It has been said some people live to eat, but I know we all have to eat in order for us to live, and we eat what we call food. Whether it's green leafy vegetables, whether it's water, juices, provisions, meats, we all consume food on a day-to-day basis in order to nourish our bodies, in order to help our vital organs, in order to help us to grow and help us to be healthy. However, many of us are prescribed medications from time to time. Some of us are on medications due to the effects of chronic non-communicable diseases, which we have, which oftentimes do not have no cure. And so because of that, we are on control medications, maintenance medications, and we still have to eat. We still have to eat the foods that we eat. So foods we eat definitely can interfere with the medications we take every day. Patients may not recognize that otherwise healthy foods can have severe consequences when mixed with certain drugs or medications. As medication experts, such as pharmacists, we generally should be recognizing our responsibility in clearly communicating the risk of possible food-drug interactions for both prescription drugs and also over-the-counter drugs. So we are not merely focusing only on the prescription drugs that we use every day that have been prescribed by our doctor, but even some of the over-the-counter medications, things we use for diarrhea, medicines we might use to lose weight, or you might use something for pain management, or you might use something because you have a stomach ache. Are there some foods that you should not be taking with these medicines that may cause major complications to you or may even hamper how well this drug is going to be absorbed and how well this drug is going to work in terms of benefiting from its what we call therapeutic value? So foods are important, but even with medications, foods at times can interfere with some of our medications and can cause problems. So today I am going to take some time to look at some common medicines that we use from day to day and some things you may not know that you might be using along with them that may be affecting how well the medicine works. So sometimes you are on antihypertensive medicines, or you might be on medications to treat and control high cholesterol or to control your glucose levels, and you are taking these medicines as were recommended. However, you might be eating the wrong foods at the wrong time, at the wrong times, whilst you are on this medicine, and you may find the medicine not working at all, or you may begin to experience side effects, or you may begin to even get underlying complications and you're wondering, oh, the doctor gave me the wrong medicine, and not recognizing that sometimes the foods that you take with these medicines are the culprits. So let's look at some key examples of some common foods and medications and their interactions. I do hope that you are listening. I do hope that you will take notes if particularly one of your drugs is called. And I do hope that you will certainly take notes. So for example, if you are on antibiotics, and we're not talking about the penicillin antibiotics, we're talking about other types of antibiotics like the tetracyclines. And those are drugs like tetracycline, doxycycline, minocycline. You see doxycycline a lot being prescribed by doctors for urinary tract infections, sexually transmitted diseases. Sometimes we use it for boils on the skin. You know, so we do see especially tetracycline being used and doxycycline being used a lot. And usually you find it as a green capsule. Now, if you are on this antibiotic along with, let's say you're taking Zithromax or azithromycin, or you're taking erythromycin, or you are taking ciprofloxacin, these antibiotics should not be taken together with dairy products, antacids, calcium tablets. So you may have calcium at home for your bones, but you are on antibiotics as well. So your doctor says to you, well, you're on Cipro, take one pill twice a day. And so you decide, I'm going to take one pill in the morning. But at the same time too, you might be given antacids like Maalox, Mylanta, Dyca, any of those things. Or you might have your calcium tablets for your bones and you decide you're going to take it at the same time together with the antibiotic. What this will do is that it's going to cause the antibiotic to not work very well, because these antibiotics, they may bind to the calcium in the dairy that you're taking. And it, what will normally happen is that it will form an insoluble substance in the stomach and even in the upper small intestines, and the body oftentimes will not be able to absorb that substance. And so therefore, when this occurs, it is going to cause your antibiotics to not work very well. So you will find that the healing process will be delayed. You may have a wound that you will prescribe the antibiotic for, and it will take a longer time to heal. You may have an infection, and you will find that the infection takes a longer time to go. So the bug, the bacteria, takes a longer time to die because you are taking antacids, calcium tablets, dairy products, which are very rich in calcium. These will basically impact or affect negatively how well the antibiotic is going to work. So we're talking about things like milk, yogurts, cheese, okay? Calcium tablets, antacids. So we spoke about the Maalox, the Mylanta, the Dyca. These products, they are good, but they should not be taken together with these antibiotics. So let me just again mention the antibiotics that you should not take together with antacids, calcium tablets. You should not take them with milk, yogurts, cheese, which are dairy products. And we're talking about tetracycline, doxycycline, ciprofloxacin, azithromycin, erythromycin. So these types of antibiotics, and there are some more, you do not take them together with antacids and dairy products, as they are going to affect the absorption and the metabolism, how the medicine breaks down. It's going to affect how these antibiotics break down and would sort of help to kill the bacteria that is in your body. So if you are on these antibiotics and you did not know, now you know, you do not take them together with antacids. So you might be taking iron tablets. You might be taking iron tablets, and iron tablets is very, very common, particularly in pregnant women, in people who have to do surgeries, in people who have very low hemoglobin count, or your red blood cell count is low. Doctor will prescribe iron tablets for you to help to build back your red blood cells. Now, iron tablets, they can cause constipation. That's a common side effect of them. They can cause upset stomach. They can cause your stool to be greenish or blackish in color. All right? So you want to remember, if you are taking iron tablets or iron in liquid form, you need to drink lots of water. You need to increase your fiber intake to avoid constipation. You cannot really do anything about the coloring of the stool. So if you do see your stool very black or dark green in color, it's like a metallic color, do not get frightened. It's just the iron that is being, the excess of it being eliminated from the body. However, if you are taking iron preparations or iron tablets, whether it's in liquid form, whether it's in tablet forms, avoid taking it together with dairy products again. So you cannot take iron with dairy products, you cannot take it with antacids, you cannot take it with calcium tablets, and you cannot take it with caffeine. So those of you who like your coffee, a lot of times people take medications while they're drinking their coffee. That should be a no-no. Okay? That should be a no-no because caffeine is a stimulant. So from a pharmacological standpoint, it can have an impact. So many times people take even some medications, they take them with their hot tea. And some medicines should not be taken with hot beverages. Why? Because it breaks down the medicine much quicker. And sometimes some of these medicines are what we call slow release medicines or prolonged release medicines or long acting medicines. So then they, when they are taken, they're supposed to be distributed or dissolved or break down in the body in a slow pace over a couple of hours, usually 12 to 18 hours, they are released in the body. So most times you might take one pill, let's say for your cholesterol, one pill. Most of these medicines are slow release medicine. If you go take it with hot tea or hot drink, what's going to happen? It is going to disintegrate the medicine much quicker, and you are more likely to experience side effects from the medicine, and you are more likely to have the medicine not work very well because it will start eliminating or getting out of your system when it should not be getting out of your system so quickly. So I just wanted to mention that as it relates to hot and cold drinks. But in terms of the iron, again, remember you do not take your iron preparations, iron medicines, together with dairy products, antacids, caffeine, and calcium. However, what we recommend if you are on iron tablets, have a nice big glass of fruit juice. So you can take your iron supplement, preferably with a glass of orange juice, apple juice, any vitamin C source. So any fruit that has, most fruits have a lot of vitamin C, you take your iron tablets or liquid together with that vitamin C. Why? Because it helps your iron to absorb much quicker. And the iron is broken down in the intestines. So you will find that when you do take iron, that's why it causes a lot of stomach upset, because it is broken down in the gastrointestinal system. It is not broken down by the kidney, it is not broken down by the liver. And that is why when people do take iron, sometimes we tell them, yes, it's true that iron is best taken on an empty stomach to have a quicker and a higher peak in absorption. However, if you do experience stomach disturbance, like gripe stomach, upset stomach, bloating, that type of thing, or even diarrhea sometimes, then take it with a meal or take it with food. Whilst you're eating, you stop, you take the iron, then you continue eating. All right, but remember, you do not take the iron together with milk, cheese, yogurt, antacids, caffeine, calcium tablets, but rather you take it with a big glass of fruit juice, which contains vitamin C, which is going to help with the way that your iron is absorbed. So I wanted to say that too. Now, There are people who are taking thyroxine, levothyroxine. We use that for thyroid problems. A lot of people are on this medicine. A lot of people are also on the drug digoxin for heart conditions, sometimes what we call congestive heart failure. We use digoxin for that. If you are on these medicines, you are encouraged and advised to avoid taking these medicines with foods that are very high in fiber. So you don't want to take these medicines together with, for example, Metamucil. So you might really have a constipation problem, and the doctor may have given you Metamucil, which comes in a, it's like a wheat powder, a fiber powder that you mix with water or you mix with milk or whatever, and you drink it, which is going to help. It's what you call an osmotic laxative. So it's going to help, it's a bulk forming laxative rather. It's a fiber laxative. So it's going to help you, it's going to take care of the constipation. However, because it is a fiber source, it can delay the efficacy, meaning the concentration of your medicine. So it can cause your medicine to almost dilute, and it can cause you to have difficulties. The medicine would have difficulty in absorbing. So it would not work very, very well. So if you are taking levothyroxine, or you are taking digoxin for congestive heart failure, avoid foods that are rich in fiber. So we're talking about things like walnut, cashews, prunes, raisins, whole grain cereals. Those foods are usually rich in fiber, and you want to avoid taking them together with the medicine. However, you can take your fiber source at least 3 hours after you have taken the medicine. So you can take the fiber source 3 hours before or 3 hours after having taken the medicine. So I wanted to mention that as well. Another one, and that has to do with ACE inhibitors. So we're talking about a special class of drugs that we use to treat hypertension. So captopril, enalapril, lisinopril, all those prils that you would know that we prescribe from time to time for high blood pressure. These medicines are excellent medicines. However, they should not be taken together with foods that are rich in fiber as well. They should not be taken with food that are rich in fiber, and they should not be taken with foods particularly rich in potassium. So you don't take your captopril or lisinopril or enalapril together with a banana or with coconut water or with green leafy vegetables or pumpkin. You don't take it together with these because they contain high levels of potassium. And yes, potassium helps to provide electrical signals to your heart muscle cells and other cells. So that is why, you find if somebody's having a heart attack, they shock them. They put this device on their chest to shock the heart, to send back current to the heart to get it back pumping. So we have electricity in our bodies, believe it or not. And that's why we have what we call electrolytes, which are the substances in our bodies that sort of fuel that electricity, that circuit. So you have potassium, you have sodium, and you have glucose. So if you look at, let's say somebody was in a terrible accident and they are dying on site before the emergency response team comes. A lot of the times, particularly if they are not brain dead, you will find them you'd see them stretching or shaking a lot. So let's say somebody was stabbed or somebody was chopped with a cutlass, they will be, what we'd say in local term, they'll be bataying. Why this is happening? Because they're losing key electrolytes, they're losing electricity in the body, and they are going through what we call shock. So then you will hear on the post-mortem, the person died of hemorrhage and shock. So because they lost so much electrolytes through the blood, they went through shock, they bled and they went through shock and they subsequently died. So it shows that potassium plays a very key role in electrical signals in the body, particularly the heart. However, if you were to consume large amounts of potassium in your body, it could lead to irregular heartbeat or even palpitation. And so if people take high levels of potassium, they can actually get hardening of the arteries of the heart. They can get irregular heartbeats and they can get palpitations. So that is why if you are taking AC inhibitors, captopril, enalapril, lisinopril, and the list goes on, do not take them with bananas, with coconut water, with cane juice, with green leafy vegetables, with pumpkin. So you want to avoid. These are good products or good food sources. However, you don't want to take them together with this particular class of drug. Now, alcohol. And I have been asked a lot of the time, alcohol. From a medicinal standpoint, we add alcohol as part of the foods. That is not a food, but from a pharmacological standpoint, it is included in the area of pharmacology and foods, how drugs, how foods impact, affects your medicine. So I will talk a little about alcohol. A lot of the times people are placed on medicines and they may want to have a drink or two. It might be a feast time. It might be some CO happening, and they decide they want to drink the alcohol, so they might decide they are going to give the medicine a break for that weekend. So they're not taking the medicine. That may be a good decision from an interaction standpoint, but from a therapeutic standpoint, it may be oftentimes a bad decision. I see the lines going, so let me just take this call quickly and then I will continue my points. Good morning to your caller.
Good morning, sir. Wonderful program as usual from you. Very informative.
Thank you, sir.
But I just wanted you to elaborate a little bit more on the terms together with or during. So let's take, for instance, if you taking any of the medication and you use the word together with, you shouldn't be taken with it or it shouldn't be taken during the time that you're using the medication.
Okay, I can explain that. When we say together with the food, it means that let's say you are eating, let's say, rice. You're eating rice. You can actually, whilst you're eating the rice, you swallow the rice, you take the medicine one time, and you just continue eating your next spoon of rice. So that's basically what we would normally say when we were trying to, because what we try to do is to really explain to the client. Sometimes you tell a client, take this between, and they don't understand what that between means. And we have to really simplify the directions in a way that every client can understand. So I will say to them, okay, you are consuming rice for lunch. You're eating the rice, you stop. You take your pill, then you continue eating the rice. So whilst you're eating, you take the medicine. Some medications, we will even ask them to, they can take it together with it. So some medications, especially when it comes to children, we can list the medication into the food source. So some medications, some pills, we can put it in a cube cheese. Some medications, we can put it in chocolate tea, or we can put it in the juice, depending on the type of medication. We can lace it as well. We sometimes do it for the elderly, and we do it for the children, as oftentimes they are more picky eaters and they are more problematic when it comes to adhering to medications, particularly when they are treating chronic diseases and long-term diseases. So we try to ensure that we simplify everything to the caretaker, the parent, or the individual themselves, if they can administer or take the medication on their own. One of the things too that we also do, and I particularly do that, I always say to clients, when you come to the pharmacy and you speak to a pharmacist, the pharmacist should always be a professional. If you are illiterate, you cannot read, you cannot write, you don't have to say it loudly. You can call the pharmacist on a side and say to the pharmacist, "Sir, ma'am, I cannot read, I cannot write." What we often would do in that case is that we would use colored markers, so we could say, okay, the one that is shaded with a red asterisk, the one with the red asterisk is the one you have to take in the morning. So I could put a red asterisk with a red marker, and I could put M for morning. Okay? So you know it's morning time. So this one, the one with the red, is going to be one tablet every morning after your breakfast. The one with the red mark on it. The one with the green mark on it, it is for the afternoon time. So I may put capital A for afternoon, and I put the shade greener. We do these things to merely simplify again to challenged individual clients, customers, patients, to ensure that they can take their medications the right way. So if you are illiterate, don't keep it a secret. Come to us, come to me, come to Mr. Blair's, Mrs. Dover, whoever it is, and we will make that time to explain to you the right way to take the medicine. I see we have a caller. Good morning to you, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Lando. How are you?
I am doing good, and you?
I'm fine. I am just calling, like, if you have an elderly that can do anything, and you know, some of them can be a little stubborn, you give them the medicine, especially the tablets, they spit it out, you know, they don't want to take it. So as you were talking about crushing and food, normally I mention, I just take care of a little lady, and that is what I do. I crush it and I put it in her food. That is the way she will take it, but she will not really drink it, because once she feels it in her mouth, she spits it out.
Well, what I want to... I like the strategy that you're using. However, we also, and that's why I'm focusing on foods and medications today, it would be good for you to come to see a pharmacist. It doesn't have to be at Jolly's, whichever pharmacist is your pharmacy. Right, so Jolly's, come to see one of us. Let us see the medicines that the client, the patient is taking, and we can let you know what food you can actually give it with, or if you cannot give it with no food at all, but just water. Because you might be saying, well, okay, I will put it in, let's say, prune juice for her, and that medicine should not be taken with a fiber sauce, because prune is a rich source of fiber. You understand? So bring the medicines, and then we can sort it out for you.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I was talking a little. Okay, we have another caller. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller.
Hello. Hi. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning to you.
How all of a sudden that we are being told of the medicines to be taken with certain foods? I have a husband, and I have to give him 13 tabs in the morning, 3 at night. I get so damn confused, and I am not an elderly, as to how I give them to him. I have a little sachet that it gives me 7 days a week, mm-hmm. morning, noon, afternoon, and so. I always sit and discuss with him. If I am confused, what happens to the less fortunate elderly people who are at their homes alone? How do they take their medication?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because it is confusing, you know? But you know, whenever I am on radio, I am always deemed as a controversial person, be it political or medical. But you see, I'm the sort of person who likes to hear my views, you know? Because my God, I don't know how we, God help those elderly people who are taking their medication. Because sometimes I don't, honestly, I'm confused. You understand, Carlton?
I do. But again, too, and I take your point very keenly. I will say too that many of our pharmacies have not done a good job there, and I will make that statement in terms of really giving those type of therapeutic information to clients, and that's why I always say to people, when people come to the pharmacy, everybody comes to the pharmacy. Most people come to the pharmacy in a rush. They want to rush the pharmacies. Oh, are you taking so long? Oh, are you talking to that person so long? And look at there. And you see just your point, how important it is for the pharmacist to take time to give that information. So can you imagine your husband is taking 13 medicines? I or another pharmacist have to now tell you, who is the caretaker, all of the right things to do. Okay, he's taking amlodipine. You can give him this one in the morning, but I also see that he's getting calcium. You cannot give him calcium at that same time. And I have to give you all of that information. So that is why I always say to Dominicans, when you come to any pharmacy, have patience. It is better if you leave your prescription and say, I will come back later down in the day to pick it up, than you stay there making a whole heap of noise. And at the end of the day, it is affecting the type of service that we sometimes want to give to the client. I won't call your name, but if you do need clarification, you can bring the medicines one of these days. You know, one of us can sit with you and help you to sort it out. You can see Ms. Giddens in Focoli if it's closer to you. She's very good at that, dealing with you know, these matters. You can see Mr. Blaise in Rose, or you can see myself. And we can help you to put the medicines together and to give you the rationale why we're saying X, Y, Z. It's unfortunate that you're saying only now you're hearing all of this, but that is one of the functions of the pharmacist. Let's take this call. Good morning to you, Carl.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yes. I have numbness in my hand and feet. I would like to know what to use.
Okay, sir. Numbness in the hands and feet is just a symptom. It could be a symptom of anything. It could be a symptom of a disease. It could be a symptom of, it can be a complication of a disease. What I would advise you to do, because I cannot just tell you to go and take something when I don't know what your medical history is, X, Y, Z. What I would advise you to do is to see your healthcare provider, your doctor, and discuss it. We know that we see more numbness in people who are diabetics. If you're a diabetic, you are more likely to have numbness because of nerve damage. People who are deficient of magnesium, they are also too more likely to have numbness. But these are just, again, things we know. But then there are specific, maybe you may have to do a blood test. There's specific investigative tests that would have to be done to confirm what is the source of your numbness. So I cannot just sit here and say to you, go to the pharmacy and buy this. This is not how medicine is done. Medicine is evidence-based. And that's why the doctor will send you to do say X, Y, Z, do this test, do that test, do this procedure to find out the etiology, the main cause of why you are experiencing that. Let's take the next caller. Good morning to you, caller.
Good morning. morning, Carlton.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm great, Carlton. Just listening to another great program of yours.
Thank you.
And also very important.
Thank you.
Because you're welcome. They in terms of administration of drugs, especially, or medicine, especially with the combination of foods, is something that a lot of people overlook, but it's something that is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Especially one of the first process of taking drugs is absorption.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, through the skin and the stomach, whether you're doing something topical on your skin or you're taking it through your mouth. So these processes that you're explaining there is very important. But something I want you to elaborate on, because in terms of the absorption of medication, there are different processes of the absorption. Because absorption is not a straightforward thing. You have, I don't know if you want to go into that. There is the explanation of what passive absorption,
mm-hmm.
Diffusion, facilitated diffusion, active transportation. These different methods of drugs going through your system, where it has to be metabolized, go through the cells and all that. I mean, your program is a very great one, and I do think in maybe an hour and a half you can go through all.
Yeah, that's because where you're taking me there. Is again an area in pharmacy we call pharmacodynamics,
yes.
Pharmacokinetics,
yes.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
So we may have to do another show.
Yeah, because really and truly, but what you do in there coincides with also that aspect of it.
Yes.
So I just wanted to bring that in. But at the same time, like I say, your program cannot handle all that at a time. But I just want to say that what you are doing there today is very important. And then just the point that you're making to the public, that when they come to a pharmacist in a pharmacy to have patients, because you really have to go to explain all these little
mm-hmm.
technical nitty gritties, and then you have to realize you have different patients.
Yes.
And then you have different situations with different
mm-hmm.
patients.
Mm-hmm.
So drug absorption has to do with also pH and what you call surface surfactant area and blood flow. So
mm-hmm.
you have all kinds of areas that you can touch when you're dealing with a particular patient,
mm-hmm.
because every patient is different.
That's true.
But I just want to give thanks to you for what you're doing and to continue doing the good job. I don't want to take too much of your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Have a good one, my brother.
Thank you. And again, I think, you know, we still don't understand the crucial role that the pharmacist plays. And that's why we oftentimes get, you know, see people come to the pharmacy and they always feel that I gave my prescription and within 2 minutes I should be out the door. I even have had patients, you know, when I begin to explain to them the medicine, they tell you they don't want to hear. I don't need to know all of that, and they just cut you off. And it's at their detriment. It's at their detriment. And there are people sometimes who also feel that they are pharmacists and they know the work better than you do. And this is the kind of ignorance sometimes that we have to face in the profession. And it's all about, because that's why we are licensed, it's all about ensuring that we give you the right information that is necessary in the administration of your medicine. Okay, let's take this call. Good morning to you, caller.
Hello, Carlton.
Yes, ma'am.
With the numerous people that you have to attend to, you know, on the labels for the medication, it tells you after supper. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Or in the AM or in the PM.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it does not specify, do not take spinach, do not take, so I don't know if you all will have to upgrade to that.
No, the pharmacist will give you that information. I understand what you're saying. There are some, we do have some auxiliary labels. We call that auxiliary labels that we stick on the medicine. Take with food, avoid alcohol, do not take with dairy products, do not take with fiber, take with plenty water, may discolorize your stool. At Jolly's, we do have these auxiliary labels that we stick on the medicines. However, again, not everybody's literate, and not everybody will tell you that they can't read or write. So the pharmacist still has to verbalize this information to the patient. If we have to give you a list for every drug, it's going to be very time absorbing. What we can do, that's why I'm saying to you, I can assist you if you were to come one day and come and see me with all of your husband's medicines. Once it's a time that's not going to interfere with a time he has to take his medicine, and we can sit and I can assist you to give you further information as to some of the precautions, XYZ, as it relates to food. But you would recognize it's a laborious process in many cases, when you know you have one patient on, you know, 14, 13 different medicines, and you have hundreds of prescriptions to fill in a day. So it is, I understand what you're saying, but we are trying to see what we can do to improve that. Let me continue. I was talking a little about, let me just suspend the calls for a little bit. I was talking a little about alcohol, which in pharmacology, we would classify it under food, because people consume alcohol a lot. And a lot of the times people put alcohol before their health, their social habits. They put that before their health, and they will tell you they're not taking the antibiotics for 2 days because it's the weekend and their friends come in and play domino and they have to drink the whiskey and they have to drink. Always remember that alcohol itself ferments. When you take alcohol in your body, it ferments. And in the fermentation process, it can cause reaction or fizzing in the fermentation process. You put alcohol and you put something in a bottle with alcohol, whether it's, let's say, a fruit, it will cause fermentation after a while. It's just the biological process that is happening. A lot of the medicines, when they're taken with alcohol, two things could happen. The alcohol can nullify the efficacy of the drug. So it can cut down the efficacy of the drug, making the drug weaker. So when the doctor prescribed the drug for you, let's say it's a strong antibiotic where you take one twice a day, one antibiotic could last up to 10 to 12 hours in your body, and you take how many glasses of alcohol, it's going to cut down the concentration of the antibiotic, and the antibiotic is not going to work very well, and then you're going to have this bacteria staying longer in your body, and that wound or cut or aberration is not going to heal very easily. So these are things that you're going to learn. Now, alcohol also increases your glucose level. Now, if your glucose level gets too high, then it's going to affect the healing process. So that is why diabetics, their wound take a longer time to heal because of glucose levels. So alcohol will increase your glucose level as well, and it is going to delay the healing process, particularly if you have a wound. So that is why if you are on antibiotics, you should not be doing these things. There are some antibiotics, if you take it with alcohol, you will get what we call a disulfiram reaction. A disulfiram reaction is almost like a reaction, if you were to think of it, like you put Eno in water. So if you take a pack of Eno and you throw it in water, you get that fizzing thing happening. This is what a disulfiram reaction looks like happening inside of your stomach. So if you take, for example, metronidazole or Flagyl, which is a very common antibiotic that is used, and you decide you're going to drink two shots of whiskey with your friend, you may have forgotten, or you decide you don't care, you're going to drink it. That is what's going to happen. You're going to have that reaction in your stomach, and you're going to vomit profusely. You're going to be vomiting. So it is really not recommended that we take alcoholic beverages together with some of the drugs. As well, too, alcohol, when it is taken, yes, it impacts or affects the lining of the stomach, and when it creates the proportion, a higher proportion of hydrochloric acid in the stomach. So when we drink alcohol, we're going to secrete more hydrochloric acid. More hydrochloric acid is going to be secreted in our stomach as well, and that's why we are more likely to get gastritis. After drinking alcohol, plenty alcohol, you're more likely to get diarrhea, you're more likely to get upset stomach, you're more likely to vomit because of a higher level of hydrochloric acid that is released. As well too, alcohol also is broken down by the liver, and many drugs are broken down by the liver too. So it means that if you're drinking alcohol together with whatever medication that you might be taking that has to be broken down or metabolized by the liver, it means that your liver is going to be under more strain. You're going to put your liver under more stress And your liver is important because it's one of the main detoxifiers in the body. So it basically helps to remove toxins from your body. And these are some of the biological and chemical reactions and changes that goes on in the body when we do what we want when we are on medication. So I really wanted to explain that thoroughly to you. I see that we have a call. Let's take this call. Good morning to you, caller.
Yeah, good program, man.
Thank you very much.
Listen to the your vibes, you know?
Yes.
It's very important. You see, the point is, yeah, sometimes you are very tired and your body needs a rest, you know? And then you need to relax and, you know, do some meditation and what have you. Because there are some people, it's like they don't rest their body enough. They're hustling. They're eating the right food. They're eating the wrong set of stuff. And then they're not really taking care of themselves. In other words, some of them looking for sickness for themselves. They just know when something's going to happen to you. You have to look at it. Sometimes you're having a bad stomach. You don't know what is causing that. But you're just holding on to it. But you realize it's probably sitting to yourself. You have to find out what's really causing that. And this is what happens most of the time. That's why people get sick. Some people get sick and they end up in the hospital.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you so much for calling. We have just 14 more minutes, or rather 15 more minutes. I'm kind of trying to rush some of the contents that I have that I want to deliver before the show comes to a close. So I do apologize if I would have caught you inadvertently. Let's look a little about grapefruit and grapefruit juice. It is one of the fruits that has so many interactions with so many drugs. And why? Because grapefruit juice does have a molecule in there that can cause most of these drugs, when they interact with the grapefruit juice, to stay much longer in the body. So let us assume that you are given simvastatin, okay? You've given simvastatin for your cholesterol. And your doctor would have told you that you have to take it in the evening after your dinner, your supper, dinner supper. And that one pill supposed to stay in your body for at least 18 hours. It will stay in your body for about 18 hours. So it's a slow release pill. So when you are ready for the next dose, practically 24 hours would have passed, or close to 24 hours span. But if you take this pill together with grapefruit juice, what's going to happen? You're going to have an interaction whereby that molecule, that enzyme in the grapefruit juice is going to bind with that medicine and cause the medicine to stay much longer in your bloodstream. So time you are ready for the next dose, you still have a high concentration of that same drug in your blood. And that can actually lead to strain on your vital organs, and it can lead to toxicity as well, or poisoning. So we recommend foods, let me give you some examples of drugs that should not be taken together with grapefruit juice. So if you are on Tegretol, and Tegretol is carbamazepine, we use that as a mood stabilizer in bipolar, we use it as well in epilepsy, we use it as well for certain neuralgias or nerve pains. So that drug, if you are on Tegretol, then you cannot take grapefruit juice together with it. If you are on calcium channel blockers, that's a specific type of medicine to control blood pressure. So if you're taking things like amlodipine, okay, nifedipine, you're taking amlodipine, these medicines, the calcium channel blockers, you cannot take together with grapefruit juice. And these are these is really, really important. One second. So you really want to remember that the grapefruit juice can cause a higher concentration of the medicine in your bloodstream. And that in itself can be a bit serious. So you want to advise you on that. You want you to remember that. So if you're taking things like Lipitor or atorvastatin, if you're taking simvastatin or Zocor, if you're taking amlodipine, if you're taking amlodipine is very common. If you're taking nifedipine, these types of medicines, they can definitely be affected by the grapefruit juice. So you want to really, really remember that. And you can always Google it for yourself as well. And because it's a very extensive list. And if I were to call all of the drugs, some of you may not remember some of them. But, even Valium, even drugs like Valium, you cannot take Valium together with grapefruit juice. You cannot take some of the antibiotics together with grapefruit juice. Even some of the antacids like Claritin shouldn't take it with grapefruit juice. So it's a very extensive list of medicines. Viagra, you will see that too. You cannot take Viagra or Cialis together with grapefruit juice. So it's a very warfarin, which is also common. So some of the certain names of the drugs just popping in my mind as I'm going along. But as I did say, it's a very extensive list and you want to know for yourself. So hence the reason why you cannot take grapefruit juice together with these medicines. Vitamins K. So when we talk about vitamins K, we're talking about clotting. Foods that can help our blood to clot. We know clotting is important because if your blood is not clotting, then you can bleed to death. So you get a cut. Can you imagine you get a cut or something into you and you're just bleeding. The blood is not, there's no clotting at all function. You could bleed to death. But clotting itself can also, it's a medical emergency. So if you have blood clots, it's considered a medical emergency. It can kill you practically in less than a minute. And so people who are taking blood thinners, so you might be taking warfarin, you might be taking heparin, you know, these types of blood thinners, you want to remember as well that you have to avoid foods like broccoli, kale, spinach, green leafy vegetables. You want to avoid taking them in large amounts and too frequently. You don't want to take them too frequently. So if you are on warfarin or you are on heparin, you want to remember that as well. You have to avoid taking foods that are rich in vitamins K. You want to avoid that. So I just wanted to remind you of that. Foods rich in vitamins K, broccoli, kale, spinach, sprouts, green leafy vegetables. These types of foods are rich in vitamins K and they can cause you to get clotting if you are taking medicines to avoid clots or to actually dissolve a clot. You do not want to take these foods. So that's why it's so important to know about foods and medications, how they can interact. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller.
You know, Brother Carlton, I'm getting that benefit that you all are Jolly Pharmacy. Jolly Pharmacy. With the help of Baby Lisa, we have 6 employees. We produce 12 drugs. Well, I understand that all of them clients, the responsibility to put the drugs into the food and into the drinks. But it will be very anxious if the patient is known that all your drugs in him. Or a drug in him, putting the drugs in the food. You know, it might cause death.
Let me just comment on that because we have limited time. I know that you really want to see more, but again, it's because there is so much more information I want to share with you. I would have to kind of limit the interaction. But let me just say again to you that was just mentioning about lacing some of these medicines in foods, particularly for children and the elderly. I did give the rationale why it's done, because they are often picky eaters, they are more restless, they are more irritable, and they are usually more likely to not be adherent to medicines. What makes the difference is the pharmacist knowing what medications that is prescribed and what type of food that can be given together with the medicine that would not cause an interaction. So that's why I did say to the caller who called earlier on, you know, if you are doing that or you have that option, which is you've noticed that option helps you, then just let us know what the medicines are. You can come to our pharmacies and one of our pharmacists can assist you with that too, so that you make sure it's done the correct way. Now, let's talk a little about people who suffer with gout. So we do have more men suffer with gout than women, and gout is a form of arthritis that you would normally get in your joints. It is caused by an accumulation of uric acid, which is usually spiked by foods that contains high level of purine and tyramine. So foods like smoked herring, pig snout, olives, if you eat olives, if you eat if you drink red wines, chocolates, these foods contain tyramine, which can increase the levels in your blood, and it can also, you know, these foods can also increase your purine levels, and would make you have a higher level of uric acid buildup. So you want to be careful with that if you're taking it. Even people who are taking medications like MAOIs, which are a class of medicines like amitriptyline and so forth. These drugs, we sometimes use them for depression and so forth. They can be also interfered with if you're taking these medicines together with these types of foods. So you want to remember that. Cured and fermented foods, so we're talking about like smoked herrings and pig snout and pig tail and these types of foods. If you do have gout, you want to avoid those. And I will tell you what, most men that would get a gout attack would normally get it after a weekend where they would have consumed alcohol or eaten these types of foods that I have mentioned. They would actually get a relapse in gout. Remember, gout has no cure. It is actually a chronic disease. It is one of the arthritis that is in the body. So you want to remember that as well. We are winding down. I do hope that it has been a very interesting discussion. You've learned, you've gotten some information that will make a difference for you. There are also medicines that should be taken, like one that comes to my mind right away is the drug Griseofulvin. If you're taking Griseofulvin, which is a drug that we use for fungus infections, this is one medicine that has to be taken preferably with a fatty meal. So taking it with butter or with cheese or with gravy or with chicken would actually help with the absorption of the drug and make the drug work better. So it's so much that relates to food and medications. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Carlton.
Good morning to you, ma'am.
Sorry to disturb you.
You're not disturbing me.
I find a lot of people suffering with dizziness.
Okay.
And I don't know if you have any medication for that.
Well, dizziness is not a disease. Dizziness is a symptom of a disease. So usually when dizziness occurs, there is an underlying factor, such as a simple thing as your blood pressure is very high or very low. I'm not telling you. I'm just giving you examples. Dizziness is not a disease. It is a symptom. So if somebody is having consistent or persistent dizziness, they need to have an evaluation. And sometimes that evaluation may even have to be a CT scan of the brain to see if it's a tumor that is in the brain. Oh. You understand? So there are several, many things that could be causing dizziness. We also have vertigo. And that is if somebody has vertigo, there are different types, two types at least of vertigo, then they would have to go to see sometimes an ear, nose, and throat specialist to look inside of the ear to see if the balance center in the ear is okay. So it's a lot of causes. I cannot single-handedly tell you, well, okay, it's that cause. You have to be evaluated.
Sorry to disturb you. Because I think you had something mentioned in some medical for that. So that is why I call.
I don't recall. I would never, and I will say that openly, would have come on the radio and single-handedly speak of any medication specifically for dizziness, because I know dizziness is a symptom and not a disease. And so therefore, your doctor would have to find the root cause. Even you having low blood, anemia, iron deficiency anemia could also cause you to be dizzy. So there are several investigative procedures and even tests that has to be done to find the root cause of your dizziness.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a pleasant day. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Have a good day. So even dehydration can cause dizziness. If one of your electrolytes are not balanced, that can cause dizziness as well. So there are many factors. As I said, dizziness is not a disease, but rather a symptom of a disease or condition. So it would warrant further investigation. It is now 11:30. I can maybe take 5 more minutes of the time. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. May I speak to Carlton, please?
This is he.
I'm Miss Hamilton.
You are who?
Mr. Hamilton.
Okay, this is Carlton Lando. You're on Health Vibes.
Yeah. Hi. Hello, Carlton. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good. I'm Mr. Hamilton. I'm on there. X band and Apex band or Eliquis, one of them two, is the name. Which is best, Eliquis or?
I would not be able to answer that question. Why? I would prefer that your cardiologist. I know if you're on island, there is Dr. Rachel Andrew. She is the cardiologist consultant on island. She would be the better person to give you an answer on that. I cannot prejudice one drug over the other without knowing the severity or the magnitude of your cardiovascular condition. And so,
but my call is simple. It's a blood thinner. You know that.
I know that. But listen to what I'm saying to you. I cannot answer you as to which of the two drug, which of the two is the better choice, because I'm not your cardiologist.
It's the one drug. It's got two names.
Yes. Well, the Eloquis is the brand. So you're going to, it's the brand. That's a brand name. The other name is the generic. So the generic is often cheaper than the brand itself. All right? So that's the only thing. You have the generic and you have the brand. And companies do that so that people have latitude in terms of cost and spending.
Yeah, but what I meant to ask, because you just mentioned on the program that you're not supposed to take like certain things like spinach and such like.
Yes, sir. I did say that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you're taking a drug like that, you definitely, your cardiologist would have told you that you don't want to take too much broccoli and kale and spinach together with this medicine.
Fair enough.
Okay, because this medicine is rich in vitamin K, which is responsible for clotting of blood.
Okay. That's right. So, see, now you don't want to be using anything that clots the blood.
That's
good. Thanks for that. Thank you so much, man. You have a great, good day. Stay safe. Eh?
Thank you very much, sir. Let's take this other call. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Yes, Carson, good morning to you. I came in and very briefly, I heard you saying something about gout. Could you give me a little bit of it, please?
I was mentioning about gout, and I was saying that if you do have gout, which is an arthritis, you would find in the joints, particularly your toes, especially the big toe, where it gets acute, right?
Well?
Yes, it gets acutely inflamed, and it's very, very, very painful. You want to avoid foods like smoke herrings, pig snout, pigtail, those salty kind of foods. You want to avoid them.
Yeah.
Olive, you know, you get the olive in the, like, as a vegetable.
Yeah, and then how about beans and so?
Beans, well, beans to some extent because it ferments as well. Red wine, all right, red wines. You want to avoid that as well because what these do, they increase your purine levels, and if your purine level increases, then your uric acid level is going to increase, and that's what is going to give you the gout.
Okay,
so
then,
that's what you want to remember.
Yes, Carter, and you have any over-the-counter medication for this, or you have must get it prescribed?
Gouts, most times the doctor will give you an anti-inflammatory medicine, like, let's say, indomethacin, but there are other drugs that I use, like colchicine, is also given as well. But you need a prescription to get that.
Oh, you need a prescription.
Yes.
You must have a prescription.
Or allopurinol. Yeah, but you need a prescription for them.
Okay, cousin. Thanks much.
Have a good morning. All right, so we are out of time. It is 11:34 a.m. here in Dominica, Eastern Caribbean time. It was my pleasure bringing to you another episode of Health Vibes. I do hope that the information, the contents were relevant, were applicable to you, and you would have learned from it. So from me to you, let me remind you to stay safe, pay attention to the information that will be coming from the Met office. As you know, we are under at least two systems, and we will be seeing some deterioration in the weather all the way onto the weekend, and so we need to be cautious, and we need to listen to the credible sources, not Facebook and not word of mouth where they tell somebody always come and say they hear, you know, but you want to listen to the credible sources. So as always, your health is indeed your greatest resource. Preserve it. I am your host, Carlton Lando, signing off. Have a good morning, everybody. Take care of yourself.